Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim, Daf Mem Aleph. We begin on Mem Aleph Amud Aleph, about 10 lines down from the top, 9 lines down from the top, with the quoting from the Mishnah of Ein Mevashlin V'chule. In the Mishnah, we said that a person must eat the Korban Pesach when it's roasted. You're not allowed to eat it when it's partially cooked, which is Na, or Boshel Mevushal, which we'll see means cooked. And now we'll have a discussion as to exactly what is derived from those words in the Pasuk. The Pasuk tells us that Lo sochal mimenu na, v'ashel mivushal b'moyim, ki im bitzli esh. These are three very important parts of this pasuk. You're not allowed to eat it na, you're not allowed to eat it when it's b'ashel mivushal b'moyim, and you must eat it ki im bitzli esh, you must eat it roasted. So, now let's discuss this. Tanur Rabban, we begin with the braisa. It says, the pasuk tells us, you're not allowed to eat it b'ashel mivushal b'moyim. It says you can't have it in water. That tells me you can't have it in water. Sha'ar mashkin minayin. How do we know that you're not allowed to go and cook the Korban Pesach in other types of liquids? So Amr is kavachomer. Where says the kavachomer? Umamayim she'ein mefigin tamam. When you cook it in water, water has no taste. Water is not going to change the taste of the Korban Pesach. And nevertheless, you're not allowed to use water and cook it in water. Asurin. Certainly then, shar mashkin she'mefigin tamam lo kol shekein. So it's a kavachomer that if water is not allowed, which doesn't change the taste, so certainly something which does change the taste, like other liquids which impart their own taste, certainly you can't cook it in that. That is from the Chachamim, that is the Tanakama of this Braisa. On the other hand, the Rebbe has a different drasha. Rebbe Omer, Pasuk says, Boshel mevushol b'moyim. So it tells me, Ein li'ela b'moyim. You're not allowed to have mayim, you're not allowed to have water. Shar mash minayim. How do you know you're not allowed to cook it in other liquids as well? It's also an Isser. Tamal Omer, he says it's from the extra words, Boshel mevushol, mikol makom. That comes to tell us, any type of boshel mevushol, not only with mayim, but even without mayim, with other liquids as well. And we'll see, this means even without liquid, my benayu, what's the difference between the Tanakama's derivation and Rebbe's derivation? So Gemara says, Iker benayu, tzli kedar. That's exactly it. Whether you're cooking something just in a pot without anything other than its natural juices, you don't add any liquid to it. So according to the Tanakama, as Rashi says, Shemavashlin also bikdera below mayim, or below b'shum mashke, elamayim haniflotim mishamno, except for its natural juices. So, leman di olif lomi kavachomer. The Tanakhama learns it out from a kavachomer. If water, which doesn't impact the taste, is not allowed, certainly anything else which does impact the taste certainly shouldn't be allowed. So then, here, hachashari, because there is no taste at all. L'Rebbe, however, the olif mirivuya, but Rebbe has some of the extra word, as Rashi pointed out, Revuyahu dahavalei lemichtav no umevushal. It could have just said mevushal. Why did it say boshel mevushal from the extra word? So hanami boshel mevushalhu. So even its own juices are considered something that is going to be osur. So again, the nafkamino here is tzli keder, when you're roasting it in a pot that has no water inside of it. So you put the pot directly on the fire, and there's nothing inside it but its natural juices. So the Tanakam would say, that's not a kavachomer. This is not related to water. It's nothing there. So therefore, it would be allowed. And according to the opinion of Rebbe, that it has to do with the extra word, boshel, mivushal, so therefore it means mikol makom, including even slikedor. So that would be the nafkamina between these two opinions. Now, what do the Rabbanim do with the word? Rebbe says the extra word, boshel mevushal, is to tell us mikol makom, with anything, including tzli kedar, and certainly other types of liquids. What do the Rabbanim need that extra word, boshel, for in the pasuk? You could have just said, na umevushal. So, hi, boshel mevushal, my avdilahu. What do they use the extra word for? So, miboy lelech edetanya, the need for what we learn in the following braisa. The pasuk says, bishlu v'achakach tzlo, o shetzlo v'achakach bishlu chayev. That it doesn't make any difference whether you first go and cook it, bishlu, and then afterwards, slow, you roast it, or the other around. Or you first roasted it, and then you cooked it, you're not allowed to be yotze with that, and in fact, you're chayev, you're over a lav, for which Rashi says, chayev here means that you would get malchus al achilosa. Now, Gemara says, bishlomo, if you first cooked it, bishlu, v'achak slow, and then you went and roasted it, so we understand, you're chayev over here, malchus, because the whole bishle, because you did in fact cook it, and the pasuk says, you're not allowed to go and cook it. However, if in fact elot sulo v'achakach bishlo hotzliyeshu, am I? Why should it be chayiv, however, if you first roasted it? No, once you roasted it, boom, you did the right thing. What difference does it make that you cooked it afterwards? Why should that cooking afterwards ruin it? So what gives two terutzim? Amar Rav Kahana. Rav Kahana says, you know whose opinion this is? Homani. This Tana is the Tana Rav Yosihi, who says that even if you went and roasted it and then you cooked it afterwards, you're still chayiv, because we see the Rav Yosihi holds like this, in regards to similar dinim elsewhere. For example, in regards to eating matzah on Leil Pesach, the Tanya, because we learned in a brisa, Yotzin Birokik Hashoroi, the Tanakama over here, who is Rav Meir, says that you can fulfill your obligation of eating matzah on Pesach night even with what we would call gibrok, with matzah that was shari. You have fully baked matzah, and then you went and soaked it in water. So you're allowed to be Yotzi with that, or Ubim Mavushal, or even with matzah that you cooked, but as long as it's shelo nimuach, it wasn't totally disintegrated in the cooking. If it gets totally disintegrated in the cooking, then it's no good. As Rashi points out, Yotzin dechovis matzah, a person can fulfill his obligation to eat matzah on Pesach night, birokik hashori b'tavshul, with this matzah, the rokik, this wafer, that was cooked or soaked. Shori is soaked, b'tavshul is cooked, li'achar afiyo, so after it was baked. The afalpi shemis masmes, even though it gets somewhat disintegrated, lechem hu, it still is referred to as bread. As long as kos manshu kayim, it has to be somewhat present, shlo nimuch legamre, it hasn't totally disintegrated, and the same thing is by the cooking, it hasn't totally disintegrated. So as long as the soaking it or the cooking it doesn't totally remove its physical presence, it may be very much soaked and shrunken and beginning to fall apart, but it still has the status of being bread in this situation. You can be yotzi with a mitzvah, divrei Rav Meir. Halacha l'maisa, if somebody cannot eat hard matzah, so then he's allowed to go and soak it l'maisa in order to be yotzi the mitzvah of eating matzah on Pesach night. Somebody has real difficulties with eating hard matzah, so then they can do that. And as long as it still has pieces of matzah there, it is considered lechem. That's the opinion of Rav Meir. Rav Yossi disagrees. Rav Yossi Omer, no, Yotzin Barokik Ashori. I agree with you that Gibrokst type of matzah, you soak matzah in water, as long as there are still pieces of matzah there, that is acceptable. You can be Yotzi to mitzvah. However, Avolo b'mavusho, but you can't be Yotzi with cooked matzah, even if the pieces are still detectable, Afa Pishal Anuach, even though it hasn't totally disintegrated. Now, that's because, as Rashi points out, he holds the Bishal Acharafia is bishulhu, because even though you had baked it, it no longer has the status of being baked. It now has the status of being cooked, and matzah must be baked. So too over here in our Gemara. It must be that even though you originally roasted it, but now you baked it afterwards, tzlo v'achakach bishlo, it is not considered anymore roasted, it's now considered cooked, and therefore yechayev. That is the opinion over here of Rav Yossi. That's teretz number one from Rav Kahana. Teretz number two is Ula. Ula Mar, no, you don't have to make this into only Rav Yossi holds like this. You could even say that Rav Meir holds like this. Aye, Rav Meir says that normally Bishul Achar Afia is not a problem. The Afia was good, so Bishul afterwards doesn't ruin it by the matzah. So how come over here by the Korban Pesach it does? So he says, no, Afil Tem Rav Meir. Even Rav Meir would say via Shiny Hocha because you have the extra words. Dramakra, Boshel Mevushal. Because you have telling me anyway, Mikom Makom. Even if it was originally roasted, but once you go and cook it, that ruins it, and therefore you're chayav malchus in this situation, alachiloso. Tana Rabbanon, the Brisa tells us further, yachol tzlo kol tzorcho, you might have thought that if you roasted something kol tzorcho, now what does kol tzorcho mean? The Gemara will say that it actually will mean burnt in a second. But right now, we don't know what that means yet. So, yachol tzlo kol tzorcho, if you roasted it all that it was needed, yei chayev, that you should be chayev eating it this way, that's not considered regular roasted. Tama lomer, no. The pasuk says, al tochlu mimenu na, ubashel mevushal b'moyim. The pasuk just tells me you can't have it na, which is partially roasted, or cooked. That's no good. Na, ubashel mevushal, amarti loch, velo shitzlo kol tzorcho. But only those types of forms are no good. Yei chayev malchus for eating the Korban Pesach in that way. But if you roasted it kol tzorcho, all of its need, so then you are not, in fact, doing something wrong. So one says, what do you mean exactly, shetzolo kol tzorcho, hechidami, what is the definition of that, roasted it totally, call it all of its needs? So Rav Ashi says, the shavya charucha, you burnt it to a crisp, you made it into something that is totally roasted, but, however, that isn't a lav. If you eat it in that way, it's not a lav. Rashi says, this is the right pshat. He says, another pshat, that it means maybe that if you burnt it all the way, and then afterwards you cooked it, that you're not over. So he says, that's incorrect. He doesn't like that pshat. This is the right pshat. He says, it just means that you roasted it, to burnt it to a crisp. He says, that is not an isser. We continue in this discussion. Tana Rabbanu, we learned another bright. So yochol ochal chizai is chai. If you ate raw Korban Pesach, you might have thought that that is an isser as well. Yei chai, that you be chai of malchus. Talmud lomer. No, the pasuk just tells me, al tochlu mimenu na, or b'shel b'vushol b'mayim. You're not allowed to eat it while it's in a raw state, in other words, a partially roasted state, or if it's in a cooked state. So, noa ubashel mevushel amarti lucha. I told you, you're not allowed to eat it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, while it's partially roasted, or if it's cooked. That is not allowed. However, I didn't say anything about chai, velo chai. So therefore, you're not over an issur if you eat the Korban Pesach raw. You might think that it's permissible to do so. No. Therefore, the Pasuk adds on. The third section of the Pasuk Talmud Lomar, Kiyim Tzliyesh, you must eat it roasted. And eating it raw is not eating it roasted. So you're not, but Kiyim, the Kiyim Tzliyesh, albeit you're not over the Al Tochlu Menu Na Ubashem Mevushal B'moyim. Now, how do we define the word Na? Hechi Domi Na, what is partially roasted? It's not raw, that's Chai. And it's not roasted, that's tzli. So what is na? So amarav, kid amri parsoi. It's like the Persians say, the parsoim say, it's a, roasted to a level called abarnim. Rashi explains that this abarnim is a certain level that was known to them. Also tzliya, shevaloshim parsi krui abarnim, veloshim akodesh kari na. That word that they knew, abarnim, how much it's roasted, is the equivalent of na. Further, Amar Rav Chisa says, Hamavashel b'chamei tiveriya b'shabbos potter. If you cook something on Shabbos, of course that's an issa d'oraisa, but that's only if you cook with fire. What happens if you cook with the hot springs of Tveria, the chamei Tveria, and you cook with something in the hot springs of Tveria on Shabbos? You put a pot into the hot springs of Tveria and you cook a cholent on Shabbos, so you're pot to have a lawsuit. You're not allowed to do that, it's an issa d'rabbanon, but you're not over an issa d'oraisa, because by definition, the only type of cooking that you're over on Shabbos in issa d'oraisa is when you cook with fire. If you cook with the hot springs of Tveria, with the chamei Tveria, you are pot to have a lawsuit only in issa d'rabbanon. Likewise, Pesach, if you take the Korban Pesach and Shebishlu B'chamei Tveria, you're going to be Chayiv as well. If you go and cook it in the Chamei Tveria, so that you are going to be Chayiv for being over Boshel Mevushel. So there seems to be a contradiction over here. On Shabbos, it's considered not cooking. It's not an Issa D'Oraisa, it's only an Issa D'Rabbanan. But the Korban Pesach, it is considered cooking. So how come there's a difference between Shabbos, where we don't halachically consider it a cooking D'Oraisa, and the Korban Pesach, we do consider it cooking D'Oraisa? So the Gemara says, Maishno Shabbos, the law, why on Shabbos, if you cook in a Chamei Tveria, you're not over Nisa D'Oraisa, as opposed to the Korban Pesach Yor. So the Gemara says, because the Toldo Seish, Bo'inon Veleka, because in order to be Chayiv cooking on Shabbos, it must be an actual fire. And the Chamei Tveria is not actual fire, it looks and certainly tastes just like it's been cooked, however, it's not considered actual fire, and therefore it's only Nisa D'Rabbanu. So then the Gemara says, Pesach Nami, Lav Todos Eishu, so how come you're Chayiv for the Korban Pesach? It shouldn't be considered that you're cooking it mid-daraisa. So Rava gives the following teretz, Amar Rava, Mai Chayiv Diktani, what are you talking about when you say that you're Chayiv in this situation for the Korban Pesach? You're Chayiv Dikoava Mishum Tzli Eish. You're overeating Tzli Eish. You didn't eat it Tzli Eish. You didn't eat it roasted. So that's what your Isser is. That is the Isser that we're talking about, but it's not the same Isser as by Shabbos where you're talking a lav, as we'll see here. You're just over not eating it Tzli Eish. Now, that's going to be an Aseh. That sounds like you must eat it Tzli'eish. So when you're overeating an Aseh, you don't get Malkus. A lav, as we'll see, that comes from an Isser of an Aseh, lav above me Aseh is an Aseh. So you wouldn't get Malkus for that. And the Gemara says, yes, this is correct. Rav Chia, Bered Rav Nosson, Masin Lo Lohod Rav Chista Behedja. He said this specifically, explicitly, that which we just said, that Rav Chista answered. So he said that that was stated explicitly by Rav Chista in a different statement. On Rav Chista, he said, if you go cook in the hot springs of Tveria on Shabbos, you're not over in Issa D'Oraisa, you're part of Rav Elazar. It's in Issa D'Rabbanan. But if you go and cook the Korban Pesach, you are Chayev. What does Chayev mean? It doesn't mean that you're over a lav. It means Sha'ava Mishum, you weren't Makayim D'Asay of Kiyim B'Tzliyesh, that you didn't roast it. So it's a different level, which the Gemara now questions. However, there's a fascinating question over here that I saw in the Sefer Margolius Shas. And he brings down five terutzim into this question. The question is such an unbelievable question. If you think about it, we just ran through the Gemara and we said, oh, if you cook the Korban Pesach in the Chamei Tveria, how are you possibly able to cook the Korban Pesach in the Chamei Tveria? The Chamei Tveria are in Tveria. That's outside Yerushalayim. You're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach outside Yerushalayim. So as soon as you go and bring the Korban Pesach to the Chamei Tveria, you're going to be over the Isser of Yotzeh. And therefore, you can't eat the Korban Pesach. So therefore, it's no longer kosher Korban Pesach. So how can you be overdoing anything with it? It's a bomb kasha. It's a tremendous kasha. And he gives five terutzim. So he brings down from the Imri Emes, and he says, you know what? They used the thermos. They used some sort of a container. They brought the Chametz Tveria to Yerushalayim, and they cooked it with these hot waters from the Chametz Tveria using something like a thermos. Teretz number one. Teretz number two, he brings over Shlomo Cohen, and he says, this was during the time, this Gemara was talking about when you had the Mishkan in Nov and Givon, and there was no obligation to go and eat the Korban Pesach in Yerushalayim. You have to eat the Korban Pesach where the Beis HaMikdash is, or where the Mishkan was in Shiloh. But during the years when the Mishkan was in Nov and Givon, so then they didn't have to go and eat the Korban Pesach right around Nov and Givon. They could eat it any place in Eretz Yisrael. Teretz number three, from the Egli Tal. He says, you're talking here about the Pesach Sheni, not the Pesach Rishon, not the Korban Pesach that's brought in Nisan. We're talking about the Korban Pesach Sheni that's brought in Iyar. And that can be brought on a Bama Siyachid, an individual private Bama during the years of Nov and Givon as well. And therefore, in that situation, again, no problem that it's in Tveria, not a problem. Teretz number four brings up for the Gur Aryeh Yehuda. He says, based upon the Rambam, that halachically you can extend the city limits of Yerushalayim. There's an old process how to extend the city limits of Yerushalayim. Mitzvah Hashem, Meir Yomeinu, when the Beis HaMikdash was going to be rebuilt, so we're going to have so many people, Kenai Nahara, that we wanted to come to Yerushalayim. So they'll extend the city limits of Yerushalayim so everybody can eat the korbanos within the city limits of Yerushalayim. So he says that theoretically you could extend the limits of Yerushalayim all the way to Tveria. And that's how you could possibly have a Korban Pesach that's being cooked in the Chamei Tveria. And finally, the fifth and last teretz is from the Chekal Yitzchok, which he brings down from the Siach Zekenim, and he says that there's Shlosha Piskei Gehenim. There are three openings in this world where the fires of Gehenim go through. And one of them is in Yerushalayim. We have a Gemara that says this. And the Chamei Tveria are heated up by the Piskei Gehenim. So these waters originally were in Yerushalayim, and somehow if you had access to those waters, so that's also called the Chamei Tveria. Again, an unbelievably good question, and five great derutz. Nadigmore continues, so we just said that if you went and ate the Korban Pesach in a way that was not over in Issa Daraisa of cooking it, nevertheless, you're not Mekayim Tzliyesh. So Gemara says, Omar Rava, Rava says, Acholo no, if a person ate the Korban Pesach while it was no, which we explained previously was roasted to a certain extent, it was only partially roasted, not fully roasted. So this person is over the pasuk that says, Al sochlu mimenu na. So he's over one lav. And he's also over not eating it tzli'esh, kiyum tzli'esh. So he's over two, according to Rava now, lavin. And that's why we turn to the Amud Beis. It says, in this situation, lokish time, he's chayiv twice malkis. Now, I just pointed out that this is a lav above an asay, which is normally considered an asay, so we'll ask that question in a moment. But he says, for now, if you eat it no, you're over eating it no, and not eating it sliyesh. If you ate it mevushal, so then you're over lo sochlu mimenu, no, boshel mevushal b'mayim. You're over boshel mevushal b'mayim, and you didn't eat it sliyesh, lo kishtayim. And in fact, if you roasted it partially, and then you cooked it, if you eat it no, and mevushal, he says you're over all three. Lo kashalosh, you're over for eating it. Lo sochal mimenu na. You're over eating bashel mevushal b'mayim, and you're over not eating it kiyum tzliyesh. That's what Rava says. Abaye disagrees. Abaye amar ain't looking alav shebichlolos. This is a general lav over here. You must eat it. Kiyum tzliyesh is what he calls a lav shebichlolos. It's a general lav. You can't eat it any way other than roasted. So that's a general lav. It's not a specific lav. We'll see exactly that in order for something to be a specific lav, it must be lav like the lav of chasima, of you're not allowed to muzzle an animal, which is the prototype, if you wish, for giving malchus for a lav, because that's what we learn out, that you get malchus for a lav, and it says right after that, lo sachsum shor bedisho. You're not allowed to muzzle an animal, and that's the classical lav. So this is not like that lav. That's do not muzzle your animal. That's a specific lav. Here it's a general lav. You mustn't eat it any way other than roasted. So therefore, Abaye disagrees and says this is a lav shebichlolos, and therefore you don't get malchus for it. Now, what does he mean when you don't get malchus for it? We have two interpretations. The first one is Igud Amrei that he says, okay, Tartu de Loloki, you don't get two malchus over here because you don't get malchus for the lav shebichlolos, kim sliyesh, but chodah mias loki, but you do get one lav for eating it either no or eating it mevushal. Others say no, that Abaye is saying, Igud Amrei, you don't get any lavit at all. Chodah nami Loloki, because de lo miyachid lavi, because this is not a specific type of a lav. It's a general lav. It's a lav shebichlolos, kelav de chasima, and it's not like the lav of chasima, and therefore you don't get malchus at all. The Torah, by calling it a lav shebichlolos, negates the fact that you should get a lav for eating it, nor umbashel mevushal. So you have this machlokes din Rava, who says you either get two or three, versus Abaye, who says you either get one or zero. Now, we have the exact same machlokes in regards to a Nazir who eats from the Zogin and the Chartzanim. Those are the skin and the seeds of a grape. So Rav Amar, in regards to the prohibition, the Nazir is not allowed to eat the Zogin, the Chartzanim. So if the Nazir were to go and eat, the Pasuk says, Mikol she'yosa migefen hayayin, mechartzanim v'yadzog lo yochol, the Chartzanim and the Zog. The Chartzanim is usually translated as the seeds, and the Zog is the skin of the grape. So, now, Rava says, if you were to go and be a Nazir, and you ate Ochal Zog, so you're Lokish Taim, you're Chayiv twice over here. Why you Chayiv twice? One, because the Pasuk says, you're not allowed to eat the Zog. So, you ate the Zog. And then you have the Lav Shebecholos over here, which he says, you're Chayiv a Lav for as well, Mikol HaShayosim Yigefen Hayayin, because you're not allowed to eat anything that is from the grape. And then it goes into the particulars. So, therefore, Rava Lushitoso, who says you get Chayiv Malkus for the specific lav that's mentioned, as well as for the lav shebechlolos, says if you eat the zog, you chayv twice. Once for the specific, don't eat the zog, and once for the general, don't eat something from the grape. So lokish daim. If you ate the chartzan, so the pasuk tells us, mechartzanim, you're not allowed to eat the chartzan. And you have the lav shebechlolos of michol asher yisem yigefen, hayayin. So therefore, lokish daim for that as well. And if you ate both the zog and the chartzan, Rava Lushitoso would say Chayiv three times. One time for eating the Zog, one time for eating Chartzanim, and one time for the general prohibition of Lav Shebechlolos. And again, Abaye says, Abaye Amar in Lokin Lav Shebechlolos. The same exact parallel argument. He says, you don't get Malkus for Lav Shebechlolos. Now, what does that mean? Again, we have the same two interpretations. Ika the Amar, one says, Tartu de lo Loki, Aval Chodim, yes Loki. You don't get the Malkus for the Lav Shebechlolos, but you do get the specific Lav for either eating the Zog or for either eating the Chartzanim. That's version number one. Ika the Amar, the second version, however, says, no, since it's a Lav Shebechlolos, even Chada Nami Lo Loki, even one set of Malkus you don't get because the Lo Miyachid Labi, because the Lavim weren't specified all the time. It's a Lav Shebechlolos that says, because Sheyosim Yigefen Hayayin, you're not allowed to eat anything from the grape. It didn't specify what from the grape you're not allowed to eat, and therefore it's not like the Lav of Chasima, which says, Lo Sachsom Shor Bidisho. And therefore, in this situation, it is not going to be chayiv any malchus at all. An isser, yeah, everybody agrees it's usser, but you're not going to be chayiv malchus because the rule is a lav shebechlolos. Abaye says you don't get malchus for period. Now, Gemara asks, Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, ochal kezayis no mibojo. If a person were to eat this partially roasted carbon pesach, not at nighttime, that would be the Isser that we certainly talked about. But what happens if you eat this partially roasted Korban Pesach on your diet in the Yudalit Nisan in the afternoon? When you're shechting the Korban Pesach, you're not supposed to eat it till the nighttime, till Tezvav, till Leil Seder. But if you ate it partially roasted in the afternoon, Potter. You're not chayiv over here for the lav. The lav is only when you eat it at nighttime in this partially roasted state. However, if you eat Kizayis no Mishachashecha, if you go and eat this kezayis, again, the shear of being over malchus is a kezayis, that's the definition of achila. If you ate this partially roasted, no type of korban pesach, at night time, mishachashecha, so then in that situation, chayiv, you would get malchus. Price continues and says, ocho kezayis tzli mibod yom, if you ate a kezayis tzli, which is the right way to do this, but you don't eat it at night, you eat it during the daytime, so you might thought that means that you can't join the chabura. The din is that a person is only allowed to join one chabura for the Korban Pesach. Even though a single Korban Pesach can actually have two groups of people eating it, they have to divide up and they eat it separately. So you're in group A, and that's group B, or in any other Korban Pesach. So if you eat a kezayis of that Korban Pesach in the right time, you can no longer join any other group. You're basically by yourself. So what happens if you eat it during the daytime? Ochel kezayis tzli mibojom. You ate a regular, good, roasted korban pesach, but you ate it during the daytime. So the Braisa tells us, lo posel atzmo b'nei b'chabura. You're still able to join that night with your chabura, because you haven't exempted yourself from eating with that chabura, because you didn't eat yet a tzli korban pesach at night. However, if you ate kezayis tzli mishal chashecha, if you did go, you couldn't control yourself, you ate a kezayis of the roasted korban pesach at nighttime, so then you can no longer join your chabura, because you already made your own chabura. Pasul atzmo b'nei chabura. You can't join your chabura, because you ate the korban pesach by yourself, and korban pesach must be eaten with one chabura, not with two chaburas. Here, you made your own chabura, so to say, and now you want to join another chabura, you can't do that. That's what this braisa tells us. Tanyidach, another braisa says, Yochal ochal kezayis no mibod yom. You might think that if you ate a kezayis when it's only partially roasted during the daytime, that you be chayev eating Korban Pesach in the north state, where you ate it during the daytime, you're chayev. So the Gemara says, this should be a kabbal chomer, you should be chayev. And what is the kabbal chomer? V'dinu. I would have said it's the following kabbal chomer. Uma b'shor sheyeshno b'kum echol tzli. At the nighttime, Tetzvav at night, Leil Seder, when in fact you're obligated to eat it in the roasted state. In that situation, yeshno b'val tochal no. So you have a heter to eat it, albeit it must be roasted. So again, there is a heter to eat it. So then, yesh no b'val tochal no. Now you have an issa to eat it when it's not fully roasted, it's only partially roasted. So therefore, kal v'chomer, b'shor she'eino b'kum echol tzli, certainly in a time when you're not even allowed to eat it roasted, so then certainly, eino din, she'esh no b'val tochal no. Certainly you should be chayav then for eating it in a partially roasted state. So here, they're saying it's a kal v'chomer, that if you're not allowed to eat it, nor at night, you certainly can't eat it, nor during the day. Because at nighttime, at least there's a mitzvah to eat it tzli. So you can eat it in some way. So therefore, if you eat it nor, you're going to be chayiv. So certainly in the day, when there's not even a mitzvah yet of eating tzli, certainly then if you eat it nor, you're going to be chayiv. That's the first approach of the Braisa. The Braisa says, maybe not. Although, maybe you could argue the following. B'shor she'eino b'kum echol tzli, when there is no mitzvah to go eat it tzli, i.e. during the daytime, so then, yeshno b'val tochal no. Only then is there an isser, a lav, to go and eat it in the partially roasted state. But paradoxically, b'shor sheyeshno b'kum echol tzli, when there is a permission to go and eat it roasted, so now, so to say, you are allowed to eat it, albeit you're supposed to eat it roasted. So if you eat it in a non-roasted way, eino b'val tochal no, there is no isser at that point, a lav of eating in the partially roasted state, because at least there is a permissibility here to eat it in the roasted state. It's only when there's no permission to eat it at all, i.e. yadala during the day, that there's a lav of eating it nor. But paradoxically, when there is permissibility to eat it roasted, so there's no longer an issa to eat it nor. Valtisma, and don't be shocked at this, shari hutto michlolo etzotzli, because the idea is that until now it wasn't allowed to be eaten at all. So that's why there's an issa of eating it nor. But now that there's permissibility to eat it, albeit tzli, so then there's no longer an issa to eat it, not. So these are the two sides of the coin that the Braisa suggests. And the Gemara says, the Braisa concludes and says, Talmud Lomar, that this latter one is incorrect, because the Pasuk says, Al toklu mimenu na, uvashem uvusho b'mayim, ki im tzliyesh. This is our Pasuk. And it says, she'ein Talmud Lomar ki im tzliyesh. It didn't have to tell me that you must eat it roasted. It told me you can't eat it partially roasted, and you can't eat it cooked. So what else? So therefore, you didn't have to tell me you must eat it tzliyesh. So why does the Torah say, Uma Talmud Lomar ki im tzliyesh? What's the purpose of telling me that you should eat it tzliyesh? Lomar loch, to teach you, b'shar sheyesh no b'kum echol tzli. During the time when you have a commandment to go and eat it tzli, i.e. tetzvav at night, Lil Seder, when you have an obligation to go and eat it roasted Korban Pesach, then that's when the lav kicks in. Yesh no b'val tochal no. Only at that point in time is there a lav of eating it no. However, b'shar she'eino b'kum echol tzli, but when there is no obligation to eat the Korban Pesach roasted, i.e. you dal it in the afternoon, when you shecht it, when there is no obligation yet to eat it, so then, eino b'val tochal no. So the first way of learning it, with the kal v'chomer is shlugged up because of the pasuk saying kim sliyesh, telling me no, that you can't use that kal v'chomer. Only when there's a mitzvah to eat it roasted is there in fact an isser to eat it no. But when there's no mitzvah to eat it roasted, i.e. during your dalet in the afternoon, so then there's no lav of eating it no. Morris says Rabbi Yomer, Rabbi tells us ekra ani boshel. Why do I need the words boshel mevushel? Just tell me boshel. Ma talmud lomer mevushel. Why do I need the extra word mevushel? So, shiocho, because I would have said on my own, en li'elo shebishulo meshech hashecha. If I only had the word boshel, and I didn't have the word mevushel, you know what I would have said? I would have said that it's only if you went and cooked it at nighttime is there an isser. But bishlu mebod yom, if you cooked it during the daytime, there's no isser of eating that. It's only when you cook it at night, that's what I might have thought, that's when there's an isser. But if you cook it during the daytime, then there's no isser of eating it. Minayin, how do we know that that's not true? Talmud Lomar, it says the X word, boshel mevushel mikol makom. No matter how you cook it, when you cook it, during the daytime or during the nighttime, if you go and cook your Korban Pesach, you're over an isser. Now, this is Rebbe's opinion, but we should remember earlier from the shir, the Gemara said, wait a second, Rebbe used us, this boshel mevushel, the very first part of the shir, we had the two different opinions, the Tanakama and Rebbe, as to how we know that you're not allowed to have it with other liquids other than water. And we said that they darshan it out different ways. And Rebbe used the extra word, boshel mevushel. There we had said the extra word was boshel, so it could have just said na umevushel. So there we actually said the extra word was boshel, and we said he needed to teach us that other liquids are also asur. And he in fact said that that would include even sli kedar. So we needed it already for boshel mevushel to teach us that then. How can Rebbe use it over here to teach us the din that you are overeating the cooked Korban Pesach, whether it was cooked during the day or cooked during the nighttime. So Gemara says, well, we can learn about both of these dinim. The Rebbe's din that he needed to teach me, v'hai basha v'vushal avkei Rebbe l'tzlikeidu l'shar mashkin, I need that, and I can also learn out basha v'vushal mikol makom. Why? Because if you only wanted to learn one of the two dinim, imkein le'makra o bashel bashel, o mivushal mivushal, you should have kept the same word. But when you change around the word, my bashel mivushal, now I have an extra drasha to learn here. So I can learn out from the extra word, Afke Rebbe Litzli Kedor Lishar Mashkin, and I can learn out from the different usage of the word, not Boshel Boshel Mevushal Mevushal, but Boshel Mevushal, to come to teach me that whether you cooked it during the daytime and if you cooked it at nighttime, you're going to be Chayiv. Oh, Shamis Mino Tarti. You can learn out both of these dinim. Tanya Rabbanan, we learn another Braisa, Ochal Tzli Mibod Yom Chayiv. If you went and roasted it during the day, and you went, in fact, and ate it, you would be Chayiv. Ukizayis No. Or if you eat a kizayis, no, when it's only partially roasted at nighttime, you're chayiv. So again, if you eat it during the daytime, it says here you're chayiv. Now, it implies, k'tani tzli dum yudina. It sounds like over here that tzli is similar to the na, that both of them are the same exact iser. And just like when you eat it na at nighttime, you're going to be chayiv malkus, at least according to the opinion of Rava, or one of the opinions of Abaye, so you're going to be chayiv for eating it na at nighttime, so it implies, ma na balav, just like nighttime eating it na, you're going to be chayiv alav if you eat the Leil Seder on Tezvav at night. If you go and eat it in a partially roasted state, you're over alav. So too, it seems to say, by the juxtaposition in this brisa, it seems to say the same thing, av tzli balav. If you were to eat it roasted during the day, you're also chayiv alav. But how come? So the Gemara says, Bishlama, no, I understand, because the Pasuk says, Ksiv, I'll talk to men or not. You have the lav. So again, like Rava, certainly, and even like one version of Abaye, who says, even though it may be a lav shebichlalos, you have a specific lav, at least telling me, Allah sochlu men or not, so you would be chayiv malchus. But elitzli, but eating it roasted during the daytime, where is the lav? So elitzli minolin. So Gemara says, Dichsiv, Yachlu es habasa b'layla azeh, because the Pasuk says, you should eat it at nighttime. B'layla in Biyom lo. At nighttime, you mechuyev to eat it. Balayla, you eat it, but not during the daytime. Biyom lo. So this is the lav. The Gemara says, wait a second. Hi, lav. Habo michlal aseyu. This is a lav that comes from an asey. The asey says, v'yochlu es habasa balayla azeh. So that's when you have to eat it. So if you eat it during the daytime, you're over a lav, but it's resulting from an asey to eat it at night. V'chol lav habo michlal asey. So therefore, it shouldn't get you malchus. A lav habo michlal asey. The rule is that while it's aser, it's a lav, but since it comes from an asey, so you're not chayiv malchus. So how come over here we seem to compare them? So Ruchisa gives a very simple teretz. Amr Ruchisa, Ruchisa says, Homani, who's the author of this braisa? We turn to Membeis Omid Aleph. The author of this braisa is Rabbi Yehuda. As Rashi says, the Omer, a lav habo michlal asey is a lav. Because of the word lemar, so we'll see, it's a lav. This is the opinion of Yehuda. Where does he learn this? From the Tanya. We learn in the Braisa. The Pasuk tells us that you're not allowed to go and bring certain animals as korbanos because they have blemishes to them. So the Pasuk says, shor voseh, if you have an ox or you have a sheep, sorua means that one of its evarim is larger than the other evarim. They're not equal size. They're not parallel. And therefore, that is considered a blemish. If you have a abnormal, asymmetric limbs, when you have two of them, so then that is called sarua. Kolut means that it has unsplit hooves. So this is, they're all joined together. They're not split, and therefore, that's also not allowed to be brought as a carbon. But you can bring them as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. The Dava Ta'asoso. If the person wishes to, he can donate such an animal to Bera Kabayis. It has not Kedushas Agov, it has Kedushas Damim. So you can do that. But you can't bring it on the Mizbeach because it is a blemished animal. So the Pasuk says, Tase Oso. Oso Atomatis Bera Kabayis. Only such an animal can you bring as Bera Kabayis Kedusha. However, the Atomatis Tamim in Bera Kabayis. But you're not allowed to donate an unblemished animal for Bera Kabayis. All unblemished animals that can be brought on the Mizbeach must be Kedushas Haguf. They must be brought as korbanos. And therefore, the Braisa says, Mikan Amru. We see from here, Kol HaMatbis Tamim LeBedek HaBayis. If somebody went and brought an unblemished animal as Kedushas Bedek HaBayis, he donated it to the Beis HaMikdosh as Bedek HaBayis, he's over B'Asei. He's not fulfilling this Asei of bringing it as a korban. Now, how do we see this? Eli Elo B'Asei. It seems to tell us over here that you're over the assay. Only Nadava Taso So means only this can be brought into the Nadava, but not an unblemished animal. below Sase Minayin, Rabbi Yehuda, that's our Rabbi Yehuda, that was saying, he's the Shita here that says, Alav Abo Michlal Asay is Alav, not an Asay. He says, below Sase Minayin, because he says, Tam Beloma, the pasuk says, right before the start of this series of psukim, it says, Vayidaber Hashem Moshe Lamor. What does the word Lamor mean? So we have two interpretations. Limeid al kol parsha kula, she below Sase, the Rabbi Yehuda. We see two reasons why, but when we use the word Lamor, that is essentially telling us, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that it means lo sase. And where does he get this from? So I'm a lo Rabbi Lebar Kapara, my mashma, your drush over here that you're saying that this is Rabbi Yehuda. Where does he get it from? So the first answer is I'm a lo desiv Lamor. The word Lamor means lo nemar bidvorim. It says don't do this. The word Lamor is basically turning it into a lav, even though it's a lav of bo michlal ase, but the word Lamor turns it into a lo sase for which you get malchus for. Alternatively, they Rav Armin, in the base medrash of Rav, they said, Lav Emor. Lamor means Lav. Tell the people, Emor, that it is a Lav. So, in any event, this is the opinion of Yehuda, that, in fact, it's a Lav. Habo Miklal Asay, while it's an Asay in general, but it's also a Lav. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Yehuda would say that, in fact, you go get Malchus for this. He is the author of this price that compares the eating of the Korban Pesach at nighttime Noah to eating it roasted in the afternoon. And Mistama, this answers up the question I asked before. How come it says Kim Tzliyesh, that you must eat it Tzliyesh? That's also a lav habo michlal asay. So Mistama, that would be Rabbi Yehuda as well. Now we quote the Mishnah that said, Mei Tashmisho Shonachta V'chulu. We said that when the baker was making the matzos, so the water that he's using to cool off his hands are getting hot because of all the asek, all the activity that he's doing in mixing the flour, so his hands get hot, and that would make it more, be machmitz faster, so therefore he has to cool off his hands, he cools it off in a bucket of water, so that's a separate bucket of water, which will now have flour on it, and it could become chametz, so you have to pour out that water. Tani Chodos, we learn in one brisa, Shofkin Bimokum Midro. You have to pour this water out on an incline so that it will not stay in one place and it won't gather, it will get absorbed into the ground. Then Shofkin Bimokum Ashborin, but don't put it in a pit where it will gather and the water could be theoretically used and it will turn into chametz. The flour inside of it will turn into chametz. The other brisa says, Tani Yidach, no, Shofkin Bimokum Ashborin. You can even pour it into a pit. Now, two brises seem to be mutually contradictory. So either you say it's two different opinions, or we try to reconcile it. So more says, Lo Kasha, we'd rather not make it into a machlokas, we don't have to. We can reconcile them. The first brise that it said, you're not allowed to go pour it into an esporin, hold an efficient. That's when there's a lot of water, so it won't get absorbed into the ground in the pit, the kavu, because it collects over there, and it will not get absorbed. And the flour in that water will turn into chametz, and it'll be around. Hold the lo nefisha, but the second brisa which says you can even pour it into an esparin is when you have only a small amount over here and it will get absorbed, the low cover, and it won't collect over there because it's only a small amount. Furthermore, Amar Rav Yehuda, the Amar Rav Yehuda says, Isha lo solush el b'mayim shalonu, a woman has to go when she makes the matzah. Again, could be a man, it's just it was more common in those days for a woman to bake the matzahs. So it says that a woman shouldn't bake the matzos when she's kneading them, she shouldn't go and use water that has not been shalonu. Now, shalonu means it stayed around overnight. Mayim shalonu is a din that the water should be at room temperature. If you take it straight from the well, it may be hotter, it may be colder, and it's going to change the ability to be machmitz. So you let it sit overnight, and it stays overnight at room temperature, and therefore it will become a standardized temperature, and in this way, we know exactly how long it takes to become chametz, and therefore a person will be careful, and the kneading of the dough won't allow it to become chametz. This is called mayim shalonu, water that stayed overnight. Again, in halacha, there's a whole big discussion. What does it mean, actually, shalonu? How long does it have to stay? What happens if it just stayed during the daytime, but it stayed for a significant period of time, or not? So again, it has to be a certain amount of time that the water is at a stable temperature. Now, this din was taught, the very famous story here, Darsha Rav Masna, Rav Nashna, taught this din in his hometown of Bepapunya, where he lived in Papunya. That was the name of the city. And he taught the people, everybody has to use Mayim Shalonu. So he taught it to them in Stama on Shabbos. The next day, Lamachar, Aisu Kuliyama Chatzbayu, the next day all the people in this town came and brought in their jugs, their containers that were empty, and they said to the Rebbe, they said to Rav Masna, Vasula Gebed, they came to him, and they said, Vamulei, Havlon Maya, Rebbe, give us your water. Because they misunderstood. They weren't baki in Hebrew, and he taught them Mayim Shalonu, and they thought he meant, you have to take my water, Mayim Shalonu, our water. And they went to the Rabbi, Yarmulay, and said to the Rabbi, please, Havlon Maya, please give us water. We need your water to make our are matzahs for biyosi, the mitzvah of matzah on Leil Pesach. Amalu, the Rebbe said to them, no, that's not what I meant. Ano b'maya devisu amri. I said that you need to use water that sat. Devisu, Rashi says, is the tagum shel lanu. It means that it sat overnight. That's what I meant. It had to be at a standard temperature. Now, why is this story brought here? It's telling us now how big amaratzim they were. So I saw brought down in the name of Chaim Kanievsky, Shlita. He brought down the name of other Gedol, I think the Grizz, I'm not sure. And it's brought down the Sefer Emunas Chachamim, that the people were tzaddikim. They may have been amaratzim, but they were tzaddikim. They didn't ask, hey, why is your water better than our water? Why is our water? Oh, the rabbi's trying to just make a buck. No, they just said, we are going to use what the Rebbe said. They're pure, they're Pasha the Yidden. The Rebbe said that we have to use his water, we're going to use his water. And they also didn't ask, well, last year we didn't use his water, how come this year we have to use his water? They just followed what the Rebbe said. And that's the greatness of these people. They followed what the Rebbe said. And this is also found in the Margolis HaShas. And he says, even though they said, hey, there's no difference between our water and his water, nevertheless, Emunas Chachamim. And that's why Rav Pinchas Levi Horowitz in the Pischa Zutra says that the Gemara brought the story down to tell us the Amunah of a Pashut Yid. Now, we're going to finish off this beautiful second parak of Pesachim, Kol Shoah, and we have the Drush of Rava, Darash Rava, Isha Lo Sol Shubchama. A woman shouldn't go and knead the dough in the sun because it's going to heat it up faster and make it be machmetz faster. V'lo b'chamichama, and not using water that was heated up in the sun as well, because, again, the water's hot. It has to be mayim shalanu. Don't let it sit out in the sun. V'lo mayim ha'grufim min amulyur, and don't take water that was from the bottom of the urn. Sometimes the water at the bottom of the urn still will be hot because the urns were very thick and they retained the heat. So it will be maybe not boiling hot, but it will be hotter than it should be. It will be hotter than the temperature of Mayim Shalanu. And below Sabi Yodim in a Tanner, when she's kneading the dough, she shouldn't take her hands away from the dough. She should constantly be working on the dough. Actually, Tigmar is called a pas until all the bread is kneaded. In other words, go and put it in the oven while you're kneading it until the very last second so it doesn't sit for a second and become Rachman al-Islam Chomitz. Finally, the Tzarek Shnei Kalim, she needs to have two containers of water. Echad Shemakatefes, but one which she used to help knead the water. She has to add more water to it if she wants to baste the dough with the water, and that's the nice Mayim Shalanu. And the other one is Echad Shemetzanenes Bo'ez Yodel. When she's kneading the dough, her hands get hot, so therefore she has to cool them off. So she puts them into this other bucket of water. Don't use that same water because it may have dough in it, a flour in it that is beginning to ferment. Don't put that back onto the actual dough that you're working with. Ibailu, they asked in the base medrash the following shaila of Rabbi Lo Shemahu, if in fact she went and used such water in any of these situations and it was warm water, so what should she do in this situation with this dough? Can you use it or not? So Mazutra Mar Mutter, Rav Ashi Mar Asra. So we have two different opinions. Maruzda says no, as long as you can see that it doesn't have the simonim of chametz, so then it still is good to be used. And Rav Ashi says no, we make a knas over here and say don't use it even if it has no simonim of becoming chametz. So I'm a Rezutra. Rezutra said, you know, I mean, the law, where do I get it from? The Tanya, because we learned earlier in the Masechta in a Braisa, and Lo Sin HaSorim B'Pesach. We said, don't go and soak the barley, the sorin, when you're making them to try to get nice solace over here, so don't go and soak in water. No, and we said, Vim Losses, if in fact you did it, so go and see. Nisbaku, if it has the swelling up and has the splits in the grain, so then it became Chomet Sasurim. But if it didn't, Lo Nisbaku, so then, Bid the Evid, we allow you to use it. Mutarim, we don't make a Knas. And therefore, you go and look over here as well. Go and see if by using this warmer water, it swelled up and became Chomet, so then you can't use it. But if you don't see any signs, any Simonim of Chomet, so then you're allowed to use it. We don't make a Knas. That's what Mar Zutra said. Rav Ashi tells him, Rav Ashi Amar, no, because we didn't make a knas over there. We don't make a knas any place. Atu kulu chado mochisa mochasinu. Do we make one set of rules across the board? Rabbis don't make a knas, rabbis do make a knas. And therefore, they didn't make a knas there. They don't make a knas here. No, they're two different situations. Hechad itmar itmar. Over there, they said that you don't make a knas. But here, the hechad lo itmar. But here, it doesn't say anything about a knas. So therefore, maybe they did make a knas over here. You can't say the two are comparable. And therefore, I think over here, when this woman is transgressing specifically in doing this, so here the rabbis did make a knas and said, Rav Ashi Amar Asur. With this we conclude this beautiful parak, Hadron Alecha Kol Shah, Hadron Alecha Kol Shah, Hadron Alecha Kol Shah. And we conclude today's shir.